you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, back with Sir Charles Schulz III. Sir Charles, let's talk a little bit about Mars. When do you think we'll be going back there as human beings?
That's a good question. Now, Elon Musk has a schedule that says he'd like to be there in less than 5 years, which sounds ambitious, but
it does.
If what he's doing, it could happen.
How long would an astronaut need for that trip? Going, staying, coming back.
Yeah, presently, if you're using the sort of orbit they've been using, you know, closest approach and matching the flight path, it'd be between 7 and 10 months, depending on what time of year you go. It's the sort of thing that during that period of time you get a significant dose of radiation, cosmic rays. It's felt that you get half of a lethal dose on the trip to Mars if you know things weren't sped up a little bit. So that's significant. You're probably not coming back if you go.
And I'm told that lengthy stays in space are now playing havoc with the astronauts' eyesight.
Well, that's true. One of the things that happens is it changes the fluid pressure in your body. You know, you and I are standing on the ground, and there's a difference in pressure from our head to our feet. And the body uses this to kind of regulate the amount of fluid it retains. When you're in microgravity, the fluid balance shifts so that it's uniform over the entire body, and you excrete a lot of fluid to try and reach what it feels is the proper balance. And so this is one of the things that affects your eyesight.
Do you think, Sir Charles, privatization will get to Mars quicker than NASA?
Absolutely. There's no way that NASA would have done it in this period of time. Elon Musk has shown the initiative to develop new lifting systems, new rockets. His system right now, the Starship, could literally put 100 tons in Earth orbit right now.
That's huge.
That's huge, yes. I mean, think of the things you could do with it. We could have those orbital power stations deflecting the hurricanes, helping us repair some of the damage to our environment. You know, there's a lot of things we could do with that sort of hardware.
When you wrote A Fossil Hunter's Guide to Mars, what was the impetus for this? What got you going?
Basically to share some of the discoveries that I'd made back in, 2004. Think about that, 17 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel a little more vindicated. You mentioned the news of the water found at the bottom, or I should say the ice, found at the bottom of the canyon on Mars. Valles Marineris, as many people know, is the largest canyon on the planet and in the solar system, for that matter. And they used what they call epithermal neutrons to scan, and they found hydrogen, bound hydrogen, and that means ice. So there are basically glaciers of water ice at the bottom of that canyon right now, and they think that it's one of the biggest finds they've made. It certainly would help people who are going there because, hey, you know, you dig some dirt out of the ground, you hit ice, you distill it, and you have drinking water.
Do you think Mars at one time, Sir Charles, had a abundant atmosphere?
Well, absolutely did. The fact that the planet is rust red proves that. It takes oxygen and water to make that happen.
What happened to it?
It has very little gravity, only 38% of what we do on Earth, and its volcanic activity is very weak, so there's nothing to replenish the oceans and nothing to replenish the atmosphere. It was always a cruddy environment.
Well, we won't know unless we go, right?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, of course, as you know, my only real concern is the potential for organisms that are probably still on the planet's surface now.
What could they be like?
Well, that's a great question. I imagine it have a different genetic code than we do, but anything can be infectious if you have no resistance to it. And we certainly don't have any resistance to an alien organism.
Might we be the Martians?
Well, in a sense, we are already, because no spacecraft we sent was ever fully sterilized. The spacecraft, such as the landers and rovers, all carry earthly bacteria. And NASA has been told that they're not allowed to operate in any area where there is significant chance of water being in existence, because terrestrial bacteria are hardy enough that they could set up shop right in the soil and pose a threat to any Martian biosphere elements that exist today.
Are we truly concerned about that?
Yeah, there is enough of a concern that they've been told that they have to stop operation if they ever find evidence that there's water where they're operating. And we do know that we've been carrying bacteria from Earth all over the solar system, and it could pose a real hazard to those places we're looking in our own system for other forms of life, such as the icy moons of Jupiter.
Let's talk a little bit about asteroids and asteroid protection. We seem to be hearing a lot more about that and efforts to divert asteroids than I can remember. What's going on? Something that they're not telling us?
Well, you know, just over the last month, I know of 19 that passed by the Earth. We had one just yesterday.
Jeez.
That passed 130,000 miles from us, asteroid 2021 XC6.
And a lot of them, we don't know about it until it's already passed us.
And that's the problem. We haven't had the proper tools for spotting them. You know, back in 2005, there was a NASA Authorization Act to locate and catalog all the near-Earth asteroids of about 140 meters or more. And they were supposed to do it within 15 years and get 90% completion by that time. They really haven't. They've found about 40% of those of that size so far. Now, there is another tool in the arsenal, and that's the James Webb Space Telescope. And that's supposed to be launched
next week.
24th, yes. They moved it out a week. They had a communication problem between the ground station and the launch vehicle systems. Now, it's in French Guiana being launched there. That's an interesting place. They have quite the launch facility there. The James Webb Space Telescope will be able to spot just about every one of those 140-meter diameter asteroids. Here's the other thing. As you know, SpaceX launched a mission called DART, the Double Asteroid Redirection Test.
Right.
That was launched on the 24th of November. That went up on Falcon 9, and its first target is an asteroid called Didymos, which is 780 meters across. They're not going to shoot Didymos, but it has a tiny moon that's 160 meters across, so an asteroid with a moon. And they know the characteristics of that moon's orbit very well. One half of the DART spacecraft will strike that moon, and we should be able to detect a change in the moon's orbit. And so that will tell us how effective it is as a means of deflecting an asteroid. So this is part one of a test to see if we actually can deflect an asteroid that's on a collision course with the Earth.
I would say deflecting is probably better than blowing it up, because then you're scattering all these chunks of rock our way.
Well, and that's exactly the problem. You see, if you have more shrapnel, it could actually do more damage. One of the things that people aren't aware of is many of the asteroids are not solid chunks of rock. They're aggregates like gravel piles. And so one of the things we're going to learn is if this impact is going to significantly move the thing, or if it's just going to dissipate the energy by moving the gravel around.
Weren't they also talking about moving it with like a laser beam or something like that?
Yeah, that's an incredibly inefficient way to do it. Here's why. When you're making a laser beam, in most cases, you're only getting between 5% and 10% of your electrical power as laser light. So you're expending most of your energy just making the beam. I'd think a much smarter method would be an engine I designed back in 1989. You use a light sail, the big silver piece of material that's a reflector, and you place it near the asteroid, and it basically is locked to the asteroid by gravity, and you focus the sunlight on the back of the asteroid to produce a plume of plasma. And so just like an ant hill being burned with a magnifying glass, you are vaporizing some of the asteroid with reflected, concentrated sunlight. And that provides sort of a natural rocket engine that moves the asteroid gently off course over the period of weeks or months, and it'd be far more effective.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Charles, who owns the launch pad and the facilities at French Guiana?
Let's see. I think a number of agencies do. NASA has a lease agreement for use of the facilities. I know that they don't own it directly.
But they got to have employees there and everything else too, right?
Oh, absolutely! It's a whole space center. You know, it's
like
active satellite.
Is it like the Cape? That kind
very
of thing.
Very similar. I don't know the exact scale between the two, but I do know that the French Guiana site is very significant and it makes dozens of launches a year.
Now, why are they launching it there and not in Florida?
Well, there's a small advantage by being there. The closer you are to the equator, the less fuel it takes to achieve a stable orbit.
Really?
You think about it.
Didn't know
the
that.
Earth is spinning at a certain rate, and if you're north of the equator, it's spinning more slowly. Well, you add a couple of hundred miles per hour to your vehicle for free just by being on the equator.
That's interesting. I didn't know that at all. Science does it again.
Yes, it seems to.
What's going on in the world of artificial intelligence, Charles?
There's some fascinating stuff going on. One of the most interesting things I saw was something called xenobots. These are living robots made from clusters of cells. These are little robots that literally can reproduce. They're artificial life forms that act like robots, and they're made from cells extracted from the African clawed frog. Now, they have the ability right now to sweep up loose stem cells in their culture dish. They can begin programming the movements of these little bots, and they can actually heal some of the damage that occurs to them in their work. This is the first time they've taken cells from an organism and built a different organism using the cells like little Lego bricks, so that's pretty significant. They're looking at it possibly being used as a method of getting in the body with a program and hunting down and destroying, for instance, cancer cells. That's one of the things that's happened just recently. Another one, this is really cool. You know, they're trying to make AI systems to figure out problems. And one of the biggest problems that's been on the plate for a long time is the protein folding problem. Proteins are incredibly complicated molecules, and they do a job like a tool, but they have to be folded into a certain shape. Well, nobody could figure out, because of the huge complexity, just what shape the molecule would be, given the protein. Now they've managed to make an artificial intelligence system that has analyzed the problem and has cracked it at last. This is one of the biggest problems that's ever been solved with AI. And so for the first time, we can actually make predictions about how a designed protein will work, which is huge, huge implications for medication.
That is fantastic work. Sir Charles Schultz III with us. We're going to take calls with him next hour here on Coast to Coast. What keeps getting this artificial intelligence so good? What's driving it?
Yeah, the big thing is, in the beginning, we were looking for systems that could solve things like defense issues and stock market issues and financial issues. And we've come up with very simple ways to make complicated neural simulations called neural networks. Now the computing method is so common and so simple, anybody can do it even at home. Well, the cost of computing has plunged over the last decade. So now we have very complicated neural systems that learn how to extract the features and make conclusions. And they're learning how to do these things. Even engineers are building robots that now can open doors, figure out where the doorknob is, what the door looks like, and find a power outlet to charge itself. It's amazing.
It's amazing. What do you think technology will be like 100 years from now, Charles?
That's something we can't even say because we're headed for the singularity, and that could happen in 20 years. It'll be just like magic by then.
I mean, just to imagine that we have had astronauts on the moon back 50 years ago. More than 50 years ago.
52 years, yeah.
I mean, that's a half a century. Who would believe that?
Well, you know, you have to understand that people a century ago didn't understand how quickly we were learning. Now it's just common knowledge that the amount of information being grown out of our experimenting and learning every year has doubled in a period of 6 months now.
You know, I look at my smartphone now, which is like a handheld computer. And, I mean, you can send text messages to somebody. You can send pictures to somebody. And they get it within seconds.
That's correct.
I mean, it's unbelievable the kind of technology. And emails fascinate me. I mean, you can literally send a document. I can send you a document through email, beams through the ether somewhere, gets to you, and it's there, and you print it up. It's incredible.
Well, and it's all, you know, the big problem was not the computing, but figuring out the rules to make it work properly and getting the network together. But, yeah, it's amazing stuff. Your cell phone has more processing power than all the computers in the world put together during the Apollo project.
I remember when fax machines first came out, and I had one. And one of my assistants, I'd given her the fax, and I said, hey, I need you to send this. Here's the phone number. And fax this to them, you know, and she wasn't that familiar with the fax machines either, but she knew how to hit the buttons and stuff. And I said, so, you know, take care of this. Okay. And she comes back about 15 minutes later and I said, fax go through. Do you have the receipt? She said, no, it didn't go through. And I said, what do you mean it didn't go through? I said, they needed it. And she said, it didn't go through. I said, show me that piece of paper, that receipt. And she said, well, it said it went through, but it didn't go through. I said, how do you know it didn't go through? It says it went through. She says, I'm holding it in my hand.
Of course. Well, pretty soon we'll be able to do the same thing, just as we have 3D printers and they can send you a blueprint. Pretty soon you'll be able to send a meal or a part or almost anything from one point to another. I mean, we're reaching the point where we can literally take the data that describes the structure and function of a thing and send it somewhere else and have it assembled for us there.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say free this week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.